Hello and welcome back, listeners, to the Dark Matter Magazine podcast. This, as always, is an audio presentation of the short fiction, interviews, and features you'll find in the issues of Dark Matter Magazine. We strive to curate the best and darkest of sci-fi and horror from both new and established voices. This podcast is no different. Listener discretion is advised. We have a special episode today, featuring one of the 29 incredible audio stories from the brand new audiobook for acclaimed anthology, Dark Matter Presents Haunted Reels, stories from the minds of professional filmmakers. Curated by David Lawson Jr., published by Dark Matter Inc., and produced by Dark Matter Audio Lab for audio. Purchase the complete audiobook right now on Audible, or grab a print copy of the anthology wherever books are sold, including on the Dark Matter Shop. With original stories by film industry greats like C. Robert Cargill, Justin Benson, Aaron Moorhead, Bria Grant, Gigi Saul Guerrero, Jay Baruchel, Gary Sherman, and more, you won't want to miss this one. And be sure to keep your eye out for Haunted Reels 2. Coming later this year from Dark Matter Inc., featuring stories by Mike Flanagan, David Bruckner, Rebecca McKendry, and more. Today's story is Fugazi, by Janina Gavankar and Russo Schelling. Performed by Sam Woodwer, Ahmed Best, Lewis Hertham, and Bernard White. Produced by Safe Haven at Slap Studios LA with Jordan DJ Swivel Young for Dark Matter Inc. Please enjoy.
This is Dr. Carl Walsk, Chairman of the Military Liaison Committee for the Assistant Secretary of Defense, Dr. James R. Cowan, Assistant Secretary of Defense, Health and Environment, and Dr. Steve J. Lukasik, Director of Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Can you state your name for the record?
Lieutenant James Morris.
Thank you, Lieutenant. And thank you for making the time. I know you've already been given a debrief, but the initial report made its rounds, and well...
We're very interested.
Where do you want me to start? When I saw the...
No, wherever you're comfortable with.
Your character or credibility isn't under review, Lieutenant. You've fought in every major war since World War II. You're an exceptional American, and you're a hero.
So you, believe me.
You're not the only one that's seen it.
Okay. Gentlemen, if you don't mind, let's take it from the crash. We'll give a brief description of the mission in the report.
Okay, so according to our intelligence, there hadn't been patrols on the mountain for weeks. Did someone explain to you about the mountain?
Yes, to me, but not to Stephen James. The top of the mountain is controlled by the U.S., where we installed a radio tower, and the rest of the mountain is controlled by the NVA.
Right.
Yes, that's right, sir. As soon as we exfilled the radio station, we were struck by a small arms fire, and then what I believe was a Dishka 12.7mm machine gun that finished the job.
And how did you discern that?
I've been shot at a lot, sir. This was my first time getting shot down. It had to be large caliber, and you can't mistake the sound. It's been around since the 30s, and even when I was in World War II. On the way down, I managed to keep us level and not spin. The trees slowed us on our way down, and we crashed with no serious injuries. Yeah.
Can you point on the map
the
whereabouts where you crashed?
Q-27, sir.
And you made contact here?
With a group of female fighters, yes.
Not the NVA?
No. They were dressed in a uniform that I'd never seen.
And their description matches the report given to you before this debrief, correct?
I hadn't heard about the... what is the...
Well, it's not widely known among the ranks, Lieutenant.
Well, soldiers talk a lot, and I hear a lot.
Not when we want to keep it quiet.
Okay. Can you state their description for the report?
They didn't wear any concealment. They dressed like the women in the villages that we'd seen daily, but they wore a white hood on their heads that also concealed their faces, like if a nun's hood had a mask attached to it and holes cut out for the eyes.
Were they armed?
Yes. They had our weapons. M16s, 45s, M1 carbine. One had a hand grenade that went off during the firefight.
How many were there?
There's seven. And, one child.
A child?
There's nothing in here.
No,
about a child.
No, I left her out of my initial report.
Why is that?
Lieutenant?
Sorry, I didn't include her because I didn't think that she was important.
But now you do.
Yes, sir.
Well, was she killed in the firefight?
No, after the hand grenade went off and the tree fell, it was quiet until we heard her crying. She was next to the fallen tree. Couldn't have been more than 10 years old. She stood there. She's shaking with an AK in her hands. Next to her was a fighter whose legs were pinned underneath the tree. And we didn't know it at the time, but that's when we saw what would be the things that attacked us later on. The little girl didn't see...
Describe what you saw pinned under the tree.
That's in my initial report,
sir. Well, I didn't read it. Now, if you don't mind repeating yourself, Lieutenant, please.
All right. Okay. The trunk of the tree had crushed the fighter's chest, but the head and the entrails were ejected from the cavity in the neck.
And what did the cavity look like? Was it torn? Was there a lot of blood?
No, it was clean. Like, that was how it was supposed to function, but the tree on it kept it from escaping.
You're saying the entrails were pinned from the weight of the tree?
Yeah. Yes, keeping it from escaping.
Escaping. The force of the tree didn't do that.
That's what we thought. We were wrong.
So you're saying this was one of the creatures?
Yes, sir.
And the child, is she dead at this point?
No, sir. We all decided that we were going to take her with us and keep her safe.
And your squad was okay with you making that decision? There wasn't any pushback?
Well, I'm the leader, and whatever decision I make is everyone's. And that's why this is my fault.
Their lives?
Their deaths.
Not exactly following. You didn't choose to get shot down.
No, sir. I chose to take her with us.
Okay.
That's what got them killed.
If we're going to talk about...
Sorry, Doctor, but I'd like to get back to what you just said after you're done.
Of course, as do I. I want to ask about Private Lehman's injuries.
What about him?
How did they come about? And how did the symptoms manifest?
After the firefight and disarming the girl, we trekked down the mountain without incident for about 45 minutes, but we could tell that we were being followed. It was getting dark, and there was this vibrating noise. It kind of sounded like a speaker that was on but wasn't playing music. The sound would zip over the top of the trees or alongside us, but they were always around us. That's when Lemon got stung. None of us saw it, but he said that it lifted him about 5 feet off the ground, stung him, dropped him, and took off.
Stung?
Yeah. It was a large puncture that had immediately begun to swell and wasn't bleeding. Reminded me of a scorpion sting. I got one in New Mexico during a drill. Looked just like it, but there was this rotten smell to the wound, like it was festering. It was already turning black and green.
So where did the creature sting him?
Shoulder area near the neck. I'd say about an inch deep.
You didn't see the creature?
No, not yet. Do you need me?
No. Finish for the doctor.
Okay. I'm sorry. What did you want to know? Sorry.
The symptom.
Right, yeah. Sorry, so you can just give me a second. It's not easy to talk about this because he was a kid. He was 18.
Take your time. You want coffee?
Is it okay if
water?
I smoke?
Go right ahead.
Thank you. Just a second. Okay. The private started to experience a burning sensation.
Wait, where? Around the wound?
No, he said throughout his body, down to his bone. And I thought it was more of him just being traumatized than in actual pain. Soldiers can sometimes invent injuries in their head after a battle or a close call to try to slow things down, so... I elected to keep moving, and about 20 minutes later, he showed me his arm.
Which arm? The same side as his thing?
Yes.
And it was swelling?
No, it looked like one big blister, and when you moved it, you could feel that it was full of fluid, felt like a water balloon.
And what did the medic say?
Our medic, Distrito, went to drain it, but as soon as he did, he noticed that he couldn't feel the bone in Lehman's arm. Distrito kept asking him to wiggle his fingers, but his hand, the best way to describe it was that it was like a medical glove filled with water. That's when Lehman took a turn. This is the part that I don't like to talk about.
Just do the best you can. It might save others if this happens.
Oh, I don't think you can save anyone from this.
What happened?
The puncture the medic made wouldn't stop leaking fluid. And as he kept checking him, he started to notice that the bones in Lehman's shoulder were missing. We quickly came to the conclusion that he was dissolving from the inside, that whatever bit him had some kind of venom that could do this. Lehman died shortly after that. I couldn't give you an exact amount of time. It was just minutes. It tore through him, and I've never seen someone in that much pain. So we tried to give him morphine, but it would just open up another hole in him, and he would start leaking everywhere.
Was anyone else bitten?
No.
And you saw it shortly after?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Immediately. Almost immediately.
Can you describe it?
Okay. It was getting dark, and everyone was shaken up, but we were moving at a good pace. I kept the child on my left so I could protect her and raised my rifle. We came across this woman on a walking path that we had found. We knew it was probably for patrols, but at this point I was fine with shooting at whatever moved. So as soon as I put the child behind me, there was this this uncorking sound, and her head detached from her body.
The child?
No, the woman on the path, her head detached and her body dropped to the ground, and she was just a floating head with all of her organs exposed, and you could smell it. It was a metallic vinegar odor, and the spinal cord was still attached, but it could move independently, and it curled up into an attack position. Her teeth were so white, you could see them perfectly in the dark, and they looked lit up. Her teeth looked lit up, and that's when I heard the sound that I described in the earlier attack. The speaker sound that I was describing, it seemed like her entrails were vibrating, and that's when I noticed that she. God damn! I'm sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. Hold on. Her entrails were vibrating, and that's when I noticed that she could move certain organs independently as well.
Jesus.
What about the body? Was the body Still intact?
Yeah, it looked to be. It looked like the skeleton was still intact. But like I said from the firefight before, there was no tearing. There was just it was clean detachment.
And that's
was,
when you were attacked.
Yes,
by
sir.
Moore.
Again, and I heard that uncorking sound about 30 meters away. It was multiple times, at least a dozen. So we tried to shoot at them, but they would dive on us from above the trees. They seemed to be able to. To use their entrails as limbs and their spinal cord. Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry.
And their spinal cords as a stinger, exactly like a scorpion. Destrito, our medic, was wrapped up in what I think was intestines, and he was taken somewhere else. I mean, I heard his screams travel across the treetops. Southbound, but then kept going on until it got quiet, not because he was dead, but because of the distance. And Jacob, he looked like a shriveled up raisin. I don't know what they did to him. It looked like a bite, or he was gashed or gored or something, but if I had to guess, it was a bite. And that's when it became clear that we couldn't engage them effectively, so I called for my last two soldiers to run.
Where's the little girl doing all
in
this?
In my arms. I'd picked her up, and I... she was in my arms. I should have realized right then and there...
What?
...that they weren't attacking me.
Okay, Lieutenant. Is this when you came upon the village?
Yeah. We thought we were saved. They took us in, they fed us, they cleaned up the girl. It didn't strike us as weird at the time, but there was no NBA there. It was all women. And this strong smell of vinegar.
This isn't in the report, Lieutenant. It says that you fled the village after it was attacked.
I know, because I didn't have time to think about it.
What's the importance of the village?
That's where they worship these things.
Worship.
Or keep them where they live. I'm not entirely sure. The only thing I could think of was that, well, it was what I was told when I had R&R in Malaysia, but I doubt this would be pertinent to the report because it's a folktale.
No, I'd be interested if... Is there any objections?
No objections. Go ahead, Lieutenant.
Okay. So I was playing poker with some Marines, and the dealer was this older local, and he told us this story, probably a story that they tell kids. They don't run off into the jungle. About this monster. And the way that he told us, well, it scared us half to death. He called it a Penangalon.
Satisfied, Doctor?
Yeah. Oh, yes. But one question: Do you think it was a Penangalon?
As a member of the United States military, no.
And personally?
Yes.
And why is that, Lieutenant?
Because everything that the dealer described matches what I saw. It just didn't fit the tale, but. War changes everything. You know, every deployment, soldiers talk about seeing or hearing or encountering strange things. It's part of being in a place that you don't understand. I don't understand what they were.
So they were a weapon?
No.
But don't you think?
No, not at all. No, for a number of reasons.
For what reasons?
Because of what happened at the village.
Can we get back to the village? Agreed?
That's good for me. Yes, sir.
Okay. Continue, Lieutenant.
After they fed us, they dropped these walls off a thatched building that looked like an exposed church. There was an altar and rows of baths instead of pews. As soon as I saw the walls come down, there was this overwhelming smell of vinegar. And before we could realize what was happening, they had me and my soldiers restrained to stakes that were spaced out in front of the church. It was some kind of ritual. And then the uncorking sound again. The women that had taken care of us started to sing. And whatever they were, the entities came in from around the village, out of the jungle. They hovered over to the altar and they dipped their organs into the baths. I guess they did it in a way that the birds bathe. It was quick. It splashed everywhere. Singing continued throughout, and then I saw the child. She had these symbols on her clothes, and she was special to them for some reason, which, God, thinking about it now, because they didn't come after us after the crash. They were escorting her to the village, and they ate my men in front of me, and they dipped their entrails into these baths of vinegar, and they were saving me for the end, I think, but that's when I got free and I killed one with a knife.
So, Lieutenant, they are killable?
Sort of.
That's when you got away, Lieutenant. Lieutenant, that's when you got away.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes. I knocked over some kind of lantern that started a fire in their church. I grabbed the girl, and I headed for the base of the mountain. I fought like hell. I signaled for the LZ, and that's when I got picked up. Sure, the pilots and everybody else saw them chasing after me.
The smoke you laid down helps a bit, but there's about 10 witnesses that saw. Where's the girl? Where's the girl? She was with you, wasn't she?
Yeah, yes, sir. I thought that I was protecting her. I thought I was giving her a chance at escaping. I don't know, maybe finding a better life. I don't know. But as soon as I stepped onto the chopper and looked back, I could tell she didn't want to go with me. She didn't want anything to do with me. She wanted to stay with the monsters. I was saving someone who didn't need to be saved.
I want to thank you for your amended statements here today, Lieutenant. Let's stop the recording.
Listeners, thank you so much for spending your time with us. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review through the podcatcher of your choice. We'll be featuring reviews right here in the outro to thank you for your time and effort. If you're craving more dark sci-fi and horror, please visit us at darkmattermagazine.shop. This podcast has been a production of Dark Matter Audio Lab, produced by Ali Nova, and executive produced by Rob Carroll and Phil McLaughlin.